From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
I put the Titans and the Raiders right now as the front runners for Tom Brady's throne.
Jeff Darlington there on Adam Schefter's podcast. Welcome to the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. The crew is all here. David Reed is the chairman of the board. Guys, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Darlington making some news.
We need to get the audio of that good morning and just play it instead of saying it ourselves. Darlington, apparently close to the situation, and by close to the situation, I think that means close to somebody, either Brady's agent or somebody close to Brady.
And Schefter all but said that on Rich Eisen's show yesterday, where he said, look, Darlington is more connected to this than what people may think.
Yeah, I think he almost said, like, than I even knew.
Right. So he says, and here is Darlington's full answer. We'll let him say it for himself on Schefter's podcast this week.
You brought up Ryan Tannehill. Do we consider him and Tennessee, I don't want to say a foregone conclusion, but a likely match?
I do not. Only because I put the Titans and the Raiders right now as the front runners for Tom Brady's services. And as a result of that, that would leave Tannehill as the odd man out if Mike Vrabel does try to create a reunion with his friend Tom Brady in Tennessee. And look, Tennessee has to be considered one of the bright spots when you look at what Tom Brady is looking for in free agency, whether it is the team itself and what they possess personnel-wise, whether it is the ability to potentially collaborate with the head coach and have some say in both game planning and personnel. I quite frankly think the Tennessee Titans make a lot of sense for Tom Brady, and if that is the case, and Tannehill has to be wondering if his home will be there next year, or if he, you know, and honestly, he probably stands to make more money if he were to play the free agency market and not get franchised this year. So it's another domino that will be completely intriguing in the next month.
Jeff Darlington on Schefter's podcast this week. What do you think when you hear that, Paul?
I think that... I mean, it's still a long, long way off. I think that...
decisions are being made now, though, yeah, for something that's you're saying is a long way off. It's about a month away.
I mean, I think the Titans are involved in a risky game here either way, right? And I think it's a bad case scenario if they bring in Brady, let Tannehill go, and Brady needs 150, 200 more throws to get to 4,000 yards than Tannehill does somewhere else. I think it's a risky game either way, right? They're rolling the dice here, and Vrabel's rolling of the dice has come up pretty well. But here, influencing the rolling of the dice is his buddy who he played with, who he goes to the Derby with, all of that stuff. And you wonder... obviously it's going to be influenced. The friendship is at play.
And beyond that, even if the friendship is not at play, and it is, he's the greatest quarterback we've ever seen who is a free agent. I mean, this is not some middle-of-the-road quarterback that Vrabel played with in Kansas City.
But he's got a ticking clock, and the ticking clock is the question.
Sure.
And so it's an incredibly, incredibly intriguing thing that's going to kill us now for a month before we know what's going to happen. And then for an entire offseason where we then see what happens with Tannehill if it goes this direction. And then for an entire season while we compare the work product of the two.
So let's say, by the way, I just looked out the windows. It is now snowing in downtown Nashville pretty hard. Let's say that... Paul, you say it's a risk, right? It's a risky game. That
I think
playing,
it's a risk. Yeah, you know, either way, it's just
Ryan
what's
Tannehill.
Riskier.
So the possibility of not getting either guy, if the game is in fact risky, the risk is you bring in Tom Brady, you're going to meet with him. Ryan Tannehill is angry about that and decides to go somewhere else. First option he has to go be a starter somewhere else because he's done with the Titans at that point. Brady decides to stay in New England or go somewhere else. So that's a huge risk that you play. But here's the question I keep going back to. Jeff Darlington and people that would know more than others about Brady, I keep asking the question, how big of a risk is it really? With Vrabel and his relationship with Tom Brady, with John Robinson having worked in that organization around Tom Brady, do we really think those two guys are going to take a big risk like that? Or is this not a risk at all? Is this simply them making the decision knowing that Tom Brady wants to come to Nashville and play for the Titans if they decide to go that route? That's what I keep falling back to. This isn't a let's play the game and dance with Brady and hope he chooses us at the ball. This is a we have decided with Tom Brady already or in the process of doing so that he's the guy and we're okay letting Ryan Tannehill
walk. I mean, I'm with you there.
I think it'll be a done deal. Well, because letting it blow up, like you said, if this is a risky game, that's far and away the worst option for the Titans when you're drafting 29th.
No, let me be clear. When I say it's a risky game, I mean it's a risky game like you're letting a guy who just played really phenomenally well go in exchange for a guy
who's... What was our topic last week that I brought up? How much of that, and I getting into the psychology of everyone who follows the Titans, and I brought this up last week, and you raise a good point. How much of the love of Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady is simply the fear that you're going to let a guy walk who just had a career season with your team? And what happens if he goes somewhere else and continues that? And not just a, I think Ryan Tannehill is better than Tom Brady for this team.
But I don't think there's a scenario.
I think it's less love of Ryan Tannehill, more fear of him going somewhere else and continuing to do what he did here with the Titans.
I don't think there's a scenario where March 18th arrives and balls are in the air where they don't know what happens. Tannehill's got Robinson's agent and Brady.
Of course not. And the deadline for the franchise tag is March 10th. Right. So, of course, they're going to know by March 18th.
Yeah. So, I'm not talking about a risk in terms of that and a risk in terms of getting caught without one or the other.
Well, they have to. I mean, you would want to designate a tag on Tannehill by the 10th, right?
You don't have
a contract. If talks haven't started.
And nobody's talked about this scenario. And I understand their cap. There's going to be a cap strain here, you know, and this particularly applies to Conklin, Logan.
Yeah.
And you'd be screwing Tannehill. But you could tag him by the 10th, make sure everything works out with Brady, untag him.
But
now you will
Tannehill
have
can also
him
sign it on the 10th.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. That's
he has leverage at that point. Risk. He can sign it and it's guaranteed to him.
Yeah.
So that's the game you play. But what a situation this is. They're in a great spot.
You weren't here when we talked about this last week.
They bring back Tannehill. I mean, here is what is so difficult for me to separate. We just saw this offense in rhythm and flowing well through the run game. And an offensive line that was in sync through the second half of the season. And a quarterback that led them down that playoff charge, and then Derrick Henry became the best player in the NFL for 3 weeks in the postseason. And the biggest argument I've had with myself is, do you run it back and you try to bring everybody back and see if you can get over the hump in the AFC Championship game and get back to that point? Or do you go sign a quarterback that you know very well and someone that's going to be extremely motivated to prove a lot of people wrong? And it's set up right now where you put him in, the greatest quarterback you've seen, you put him into your offense, and you make a true championship run. Where are Super Bowl expectations for the Tennessee Titans with Tom Brady at quarterback versus Ryan Tannehill? Ask yourself that question. And the other aspect that is hard for me to not look at, and I realize as a general manager, you can't factor this in. Every seat in that stadium is sold if you sign Tom Brady.
To me, that's an ownership chime.
Every seat sold.
Well, ownership trumps the GM.
Is every seat sold for every game, no matter how things go, you think?
No. Was every seat sold in week 17?
With him.
With Brady?
Yeah.
I think you sell out the season, yeah.
Immediately.
After an AFC championship run and then you add Tom Brady? Yes.
Titans become one of the hottest tickets in the NFL, hands down. It's a sellout. I think certainly for the
massive addition.
I don't doubt that it's a massive addition, and merchandise is out of control and all of that. I don't know if you're midway through. I don't know if the late season games are sold out at the start of the season or not, just based on all the things we had. Everybody's coming early to see him once, for sure. Then I still think it depends on how they're playing. I think that's where we are. But it's going to be way, way more people in the building over the course of season, no matter what. I don't know if week 16 is or week 15 is sold out.
Here's what I know about this team. If they're not good, not everyone's going to show, but it's going to be sold out.
They're going to be in the playoff mix. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
You can't guarantee anything. Somebody gets hurt.
If Brady gets hurt, then of course people aren't. But my point is, you're going to have the core of your team back, and then you're adding the GOAT. And people are going to buy those tickets.
Paul, you didn't ask me, but here's my thoughts on it. The more and more I think about this, and I've thought a lot about this Titans quarterback situation, the more I think that everyone is overthinking it. It's Tom freaking Brady. I keep coming back to that answer. We are overthinking it about age and everything else. Tom Brady has two, maybe three good years left. In two, maybe three good years of Tom Brady in his 40s, I take over Ryan Tannehill. Hands down. I think everyone's overthinking this. If Tom Brady says, I want to be a Titan, you go sign Tom Brady and you let Ryan Tannehill walk and you take the chance that what we saw with Ryan Tannehill in this one half of one season is the rest of his career versus what we saw in all of Miami is actually who Ryan Tannehill is.
There is another factor in this overall plan that I'll bring up coming up next, where there's a piece that hasn't been mentioned yet that I've been thinking about because the Titans were planning for this. I'll explain next. Midday 180, 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Here is another factor in the overall plan at quarterback. Up until, I don't know, what we'd say, middle of November, maybe start of November, Titans were doing their due diligence on the scouting circuit for quarterbacks. Wasn't going well with Marcus Mariota through 6 weeks, and then you had Tannehill in, where they lose at Carolina. I mean, there are examples of it just not taking off until week 10.
Sorry, they probably never stopped. I mean,
yeah, okay. Well, if that's the case, and you love one of these quarterbacks that is first, second round area, I think you also factor in that if you're franchising Tannehill or if you're signing Brady to a 2-year contract, you also have to take a long look at the future of that position and your investment in one of these guys. If you see the future in one of these quarterbacks that's either at the bottom of the first or in the second round, and you're going to go all in on a guy, I think that also factors into the overall plan of, do they go with a short-term, let's go all in and go after the trophy, or do we bundle up with long-term contracts at quarterback and running back and move forward without that rookie of the future in 2 years?
I think no matter who the quarterback is this coming year, I can't play for the future with a quarterback now. Also, I don't think you're getting him at 29 or in the second round. I think you're going to have to scooch up. And
the Patriots would tell you different.
They just haven't had
enough. Where do they get Garoppolo?
Well, second round. But Patriots are coming off Super Bowl wins. They're not coming off being close. This team needs a little bit to get close, and I'm much more interested in an edge rusher that can get to the quarterback than I am in the quarterback of the future.
You can get that guy in free agency.
Well, go get him, and then we'll talk about it.
No, I mean, I think that's the plan. Now, you have to talk about it now, Paul, because you're planning the position right now and the decision that you're making moving forward. You don't wait until free agency to make out your draft plan and your overall offseason plan. That's going on right now.
I think there's far too much concern about the quarterback of the future if Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback of the present. He's 31. That quarterback's played 36, 38. I have no concern. If Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback coming up, I'm not worried about the quarterback of the future. I'm worried about the quarterback of the present. I'm worried about going and getting to the Super Bowl, and the quarterback of the future isn't helping me get
to
the
Tannehill's Super Bowl. Beating the Chiefs.
Well, the Jordan Love isn't beating the Chiefs.
I'm not saying he's starting against the Chiefs this year.
Tom Brady beat the Chiefs.
Tom Brady's numbers against the Chiefs this year were terrible.
Last year. I'm saying he's gone to an AFC championship game in Kansas City and
Ryan
won.
Ryan Tannehill beat the Chiefs.
Well, not in the AFC championship game when it mattered.
And when the game counted, we saw what happened.
Here's what you can do. I'm saying if Tannehill is the quarterback of this team next year, stick with my scenario. A backup quarterback holding a clipboard does nothing to help the Titans beat the Chiefs
in
2020.
With your scenario, I totally agree. Here's my scenario. Bring Tom Brady in, beat the Chiefs next year, maybe two of the next 3 years, win one Super Bowl over the next 3 years, draft your quarterback of the future at 29 or in the second round. Because quarterback of the future is available there.
But if you're bringing Tom Brady in.
Is an example, right?
If you're bringing Tom Brady in.
Jimmy Garoppolo is an example.
He needs a right tackle to keep him upright. And that's more important than the quarterback of the future. If you're bringing Tom Brady in, you need a damn pass rusher to knock the other quarterback out of
the game. Yesterday you were saying get your right tackle in the third round. So now you're moving it up to the first?
Whatever. I'm saying all of these positions, to get a quarterback, you're going to have to move up. The Titans have been giving up too many draft picks to move up too much, and they need to stock the roster. They're getting old. Delanie Walker's gone. Cam Newton's gone. Deion Lewis is gone. Ryan Suckup's probably gone. And some of these free agents are leaving. Maybe Ryan Logan.
Who did you mean instead of Cam Newton?
Cam Wake. Sorry. Okay. Jack Conklin may be gone. You need to replace a guy like Tajay Sharp. You need to replace a guy maybe like Darren Bates. Whoever goes of these guys, you need to replace all of these people. Are people that are going to play on opening day.
Paul, I'm going to give
you concerned about that.
So
with Brady, you do need a quarterback.
Replacing Darren Bates is more important than trading last offseason for Ryan Tannehill. I completely disagree with that.
No, well, last season was last season.
But the backup quarterback mattered there. I mean, that's...
Well, you have to get a backup quarterback. But he needs... A backup quarterback next year needs to be able to step in and play immediately. And a rookie quarterback's not ready to step in and play immediately.
I'm not talking about stepping in and playing immediately. I'm talking about... What are you doing long term? If your solution is you're franchising Ryan Tannehill and he signs the tender.
I'm not franchising Ryan Tannehill. I'm signing him long term.
What's your long term deal? I haven't heard any numbers from you on this.
Three or four years
is not long term. Again, it's a year longer than what I'm giving Tom Brady.
3 or 4 years is long term.
3 years versus a 2 year contract for Tom Brady. I don't see a big difference there because you're still getting out after 2 years if you want to.
I don't understand why I want out after 2 years. If he comes and plays 15% less than he played last year, I'm happy with that if the offense is what it has been. If I find another running back, if I find a Derrick Henry solution. And I don't understand why everybody with the quarterback thing, if it's Tannehill, is so desperate to get out of it. I'm desperate to get into it.
If Tannehill plays 15% below what he did last year, they're not sniffing an AFC championship game. And the goal is to get past the AFC championship game.
Absolutely.
At his 140%, which we saw last year,
Tannehill,
based on his career,
Tannehill, by the way, 15% Tannehill, by the way, 15% less than what he did last year, I'm venturing a guess, is better than Tom Brady was last year.
Here's what the
Tom
Titans...
Tom Brady had awful options compared to the Titans.
Agree.
Last year. And he still threw for 4,000 yards. On the season.
You're very big on the 4,000 yards. You know how many pass attempts
I'm very
it took
big
him to
on it being Tom Brady.
I don't
know how this is so difficult. Let me give you a scenario.
I love that it's Tom Brady,
about this
but you can't separate it
Paul,
from his
but
age.
He's not arguing a 4,000-yard Jameis Winston passing
no,
attempt
No, and
here.
You've got to, when you start to come up with an entire plan for free agency, I just did this right now just thinking based on what you're saying. Here would be my plan. Bring in Tom Brady, re-sign Derrick Henry, let Jack Conklin walk. Let Logan Ryan walk. Go draft a right tackle at 29 that can come in and protect Brady that you're high on. Draft a corner in the second round that can come in and play. That helps with the money with losing Logan Ryan and Jack Conklin. And go bring in a damn free agent that can get to the quarterback. Boom. That team
okay,
right
I'm
there.
I'm fine with all that.
That team
Where's
right there.
Where's your backup
is,
quarterback?
That
from?
Team right there is more.
Hutton wants him in the first or second round. Where's your backup quarterback coming from?
I think there are a number of options that you could sign
as
a backup quarterback.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
I'm not doing the draft. Now,
I'm fine with that if that's a Brady scenario.
If you love, like Mark Howard is like love
on Twitter.
If you love love and you can get him later than you expected, then okay. That's not a great option to come in and play if Brady gets hurt, right? You know, but there's no good option if Brady gets hurt, though. So just putting that scenario out there, I mean, even if it's a veteran
last
guy.
Last year was the miracle replacement scenario. You're not getting that.
Last year is the exception to the rule. I'm looking for an investment in the backup instead of just going after these one-year quarterbacks like Matt Castle and Blaine Gabbert year after year, where if they enter the game, you're not going to the postseason. So I'm looking for investment beyond the decision I'm making this year in order to get that going. I mean, that's only based on the scenario of you spend a lot of time and effort trying to find your next quarterback because you figured out that Marcus Mariota wasn't the guy and you had just traded for a one-year contract with Ryan Tannehill. So you had to plan for the future. If you found a solution through that scouting process, make the investment if you're sure that that was your guy, even with the options you have now.
I disagree with you on a four-year contract for anybody in the league is considered a long-term contract. That's the standard contract the free agent gets is a four-year contract.
Except for a five-year contract when you're drafted.
Yeah, a first-rounder, which is a four-year contract plus the option scenario.
Right, which is a five-year
contract
at quarterback.
But generally, if you're a free agent signing, what do you get? What did Deion Lewis get? What was Delanie Walker's initial contract? These are mostly four-year deals.
In some cases, less. But in your case,
but a four-year contract's a long-term deal.
But to me, a two-year or a three-year contract, you're saying a three or a four. You're not saying a four definitively. My point is a three or a two is basically the same contract to me because I can get out at the same time.
I'm not eager to get out. I'm eager to get in.
Well, then give him a four-year contract instead of you saying.
I have no problem giving him a four-year contract.
So you're giving him the money based on since week.
I mean, I want all 4-year contracts front-loaded to give yourself flexibility, obviously, if things go wrong. But I'm not counting on things going wrong. It seems to me the vast majority of people in Nashville like are expecting the Ryan Tannehill thing to go to hell. And I don't understand why.
Because we've seen it for a 10-week span? A 12-week span?
I understand. If there's risk involved.
This is the anti-Koharski, by the way, of you buying into a snapshot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's more than a snapshot. I certainly have more faith in Ryan Tannehill over 4 years than I have for Derrick Henry over 3 years.
I want to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years.
Hang on.
So give me that.
Why?
I think Brady's the best option for that.
With all that being said, why did the Titans go to the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, I know you're going to say Derrick Henry.
Yes.
But how did they get into the playoffs?
Derrick Henry.
A combination of all of it. I mean, Ryan Tannehill did a hell of a lot of work to get him there, too.
He was great. But he wasn't the best player in the league in the postseason.
No,
they weren't leaning on him. In fact, they took the ball out of his hands in certain situations.
Disappointingly so, I thought. But it was working, so more power to him.
And by the way, in all of our solutions, I think we're bringing Henry back in some capacity.
Yeah. By the way,
Brady, you must have Derrick Henry as a primary option.
By the way, you also must have a second running back who catches passes very well for Tom Brady. One thing we haven't mentioned here, and we'll get more into it, but it's an important part of this conversation.
Yep.
Because the owners are being called to New York per Mike Silver late in the week. Major
today.
Developments today. Yeah, today is late in the week. Major developments on the CBA. If there's a new CBA in place for March 18th when free agency starts, and you just mentioned the tag window is February 25th to March 10th.
Yes.
Well, if there's a new CBA, this thing where you have franchise and transition tags is going away. And so the Titans' work just got harder. They're not going to have two tags. They're going to have one.
But they're going to have a lot more money to dish out.
Yeah, though I don't know how quickly this year's cap gets adjusted. You know what I mean? Are they automatically going to put out a new cap number that factors in the adjusted money? I don't know. Some of this stuff
would have
is,
to because the
some of this stuff is gradually
14 playoff teams are going to affect this year.
Yeah.
So that means more money to the players for those games.
Yeah, but are they going to calculate this immediately? I don't know. That's a good question. It's a great question. But some of that stuff, the machinations of it, take some time, right? And so it takes some time for them to come up with a cap number as it is. And now are they going to go and calculate, you know, the new stuff and get that out that fast? I don't know. It's a really good question.
Phone lines are open if you want to jump in, if you've got thoughts on our discussion. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. Marlon on Twitter says, Brady's not the best. If he was the best, he would have won the Super Bowl this year. Ryan Tannehill is our best option at winning. Tom Brady will be nothing but an endless distraction, much like the BS that was Peyton Manning possibly coming here. The BS that was Peyton Manning, by the way, Marlon, got the Broncos to two Super Bowls.
And won one.
When they took a chance on Peyton Manning.
And how is he a distraction? A good player being on the field is it? Pac-Man Jones is a distraction. Tom Brady winning Super Bowls is not a distraction from what? He's a distraction to better football.
He's a distraction to the kids at NBA walking around the school.
Yeah.
Giselle is a big distraction on the streets of Nashville.
That's preposterous.
Drew Maddux talks college basketball with the 3HL crew. Presented by Lance Drury Law. Mondays and Thursdays on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, 104.5 The Zone. Hit us up on Twitter at Midday 180.
Getting a lot of reaction. Our discussion.
What are they saying?
Reed on Twitter says, it feels like Brady wants to come into a team that fought like hell to get to the AFC Championship game and beat him, and now he wants to replace the guy that got us there and ride their coattails to get one or two last good seasons for himself.
Yeah.
Turns my stomach. No thanks.
That's kind of how it works. Good players, when they reach free agency...
Why aren't the Browns being mentioned for Brady?
...have the privilege of going and joining good teams if those good teams want him. Roger Saffold went to the Super Bowl, and then he got to free agency, and he went to a team that needed a left guard that was looking to go to the Super Bowl. He came in, and he rode the coattails of Quentin Spain. You know, I know it's not an exact comparison.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, this is kind of free agency in sports, Rita.
Also,
come on.
For those of you that are arguing Ryan Tannehill, and look, there's not a bad option in
there's
this
an argument
answer.
To be made. I'm not.
If they've got one of these two guys, they should be in pretty good shape.
Yes, yes. We all agree that with that. And again, that's the internal argument I'm having with myself on.
Yeah, we're wrestling with this.
Yes, but here's what puts it over the top for, and I think it would, for those that are saying, it's Tannehill, how dare Tom Brady come here. It takes one press conference with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel saying they're going all in with a guy they know well. And the guy that's coming in here to get them to the Super Bowl and win the game. One press conference. And then everybody is on board with that. Because J-Rob and Vrabel said it.
Well, and here's...
all it takes. And
I do understand.
The same thing with Tannehill.
I agree.
Here's the one thing from Rita's perspective that I can
Rita's not the only one with that perspective.
Here's why I can kind of get it. And Chad and I talked about this last week when you weren't here, Hutt. And I know this doesn't hold true into the contract realm, into the free agency realm. But there's a small element to me, and I think to a lot of these people, will treat you how you treat the team, right? And how did Ryan Tannehill treat the team? I think he did everything the team wanted, right?
Yep.
And so would this be treating him how he treated the team? Now, this is different. This is contract and free agency. This isn't like we'll treat you on a weekly basis how you treat the team kind of thing. But I think if you extend that out, which I can understand people might do, this wouldn't fit that ethos.
Well,
and I can understand people extending that out.
Well, let's just use the other side of the business of the game. How did Logan Ryan treat this team?
Yeah, fantastic, and he might not be back. But his is going to be because somebody outbid him, not because they're saying, you know what, we don't want Logan Ryan, we want somebody else instead. Titans have every opportunity to keep, we're presuming here,
you're gonna have multiple
Titans have every opportunity to keep Ryan Tannehill and want to. But they're going to say, yeah, look, we got a better option, potentially.
John on Twitter says, please stop. Brady is the GOAT, but Tannehill is our quarterback. We don't want Brady.
Again,
it's loyalty.
It takes one comment from the GM or the head coach to say, we have our quarterback that's going to win a Super Bowl. We're all in. It can be Ryan Tannehill. He was right on the doorstep of that.
Look,
but everyone would be on board as soon as that signing happens.
I don't get that level of blind loyalty.
You agree, Paul?
To someone that might be a worse option from these fans. I graduated from Tennessee, I hate Florida. I hate Georgia. If you told me that Tennessee could have Kyle Trask or Jake Fromm last year, sign me up. I would take that in a heartbeat. I don't care what colors they wore. I want an upgrade. I want to win. I want the best option. So let's put aside this childish Tannehill is our quarterback, and Brady may be the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time, but I don't want him because Tannehill's our
GOAT. Yeah, that's not him. Yeah.
That's childish thinking.
Well, again, though, I mean.
And it's not how professional sports especially work.
But again, it's not a cut and dried thing because this is the 43-year-old version of the GOAT.
Okay.
Again,
well,
go 5 years ago, it's automatic. It's unquestioned.
Right. Let's go back to Peyton Manning at the end of his career coming off multiple neck surgeries. Went to 2 Super Bowls with the Broncos, won one of them. Were Broncos fans yelling, he's a Colt. We don't want him. We're Elway and Jake Plummer guys here. Let's keep our guy. We don't want to entertain
Broncos. But also the Broncos
let's move past that, I'm saying, as a market.
But also, who was he replacing with the Broncos? You can't remember who because he sucked.
2011, was that Tebow, or Tebow was already gone then?
That's a good question.
The point is, we can't remember who because he sucked.
Yeah, I don't think they were coming off the – I think, if I remember correctly, Peyton got there in year 2 of Elway, right after the – or during the lockout, or after the lockout, excuse me, the year after, 2012. The other thing, too, that I think helps the argument for Tannehill – is the great quarterbacks at the end of their career that end their career somewhere else. Normally, it's not very memorable. Peyton Manning is memorable because they won the Super Bowl in Denver, but it wasn't based on his play. Brett Favre tried that game. That didn't work out well.
Montana and Kansas City's not memorable.
Yeah, right. I mean, but there are cases where the team is set up and you need one extra piece. And maybe that piece is pass rush, and that's it. Maybe that's how they view this offseason. And you bring back Tannehill and Henry.
Starting quarterbacks, Tim Tebow, Kyle Orton is who Peyton Manning replaced.
Oh, so that was that coming off of the Tim Tebow playoff run?
2011. So 2010 was Kyle Orton.
That one win?
Tim Tebow. 2011 was Tim Tebow. So Kyle Orton had 13 starts, and Tim Tebow had 3 in 2010. Tim Tebow had 11 starts. Kyle Orton had 5. In 2011, in the regular season.
And then Peyton Manning took over. How shameful are the Mets that they're keeping that thing going?
Oh, he refuses. He's keeping it going because he won't go play in the XFL.
Well, they could cut him at any time, the Mets. They need a 237 hitter at AAA.
Yeah, because he sells tickets. I don't blame him. In the minor leagues, if you're selling tickets based on that gimmick, do it.
A GM of that team, Stan.
You can do that, or you can have free ice cream night. They choose to have Tim Tebow.
Keep in mind everyone keeps making this comparison to Peyton going to Denver. Peyton was 35 years old.
Right.
Peyton also had debilitating neck injuries, and Tom Brady had one injury his entire career.
Right. So I would call that parallel. The neck surgery versus 43.
Peyton Manning at 35 is the equivalent of what Tom Brady will be at 55.
A 43-year-old Tom Brady behind this offensive line will not make it through the first 6 weeks of the season. It will be an abject failure.
I think his completion percentage will be way down because he'll be dirting the ball a lot.
Everyone ages differently. Everyone has different injury history. I think just to say 35 and 42, so Brady's far. I mean, Peyton Manning was the equivalent of 50 when he went to the Broncos and still made it work. I have faith that Tom Brady will make it work, even at 42 years old. He'll find a way.
I think it's an abject the description read of an abject failure. It's like we're pretending that Tom Brady last year was among the washouts of the league. The Patriots were 12-4 in the regular season. So it's not like they bottomed out and they're coming in at 4-12.
It will be a failure. I'm telling you. Signing Tom Brady will set this franchise back another 6 years.
6 years.
6 years.
Wow.
I don't know how you can come up with 6 years if you sign into a 2-year contract.
Because you draft a guy,
and then you
which they're going to do anyway.
Everybody ages out though.
You're
going
to have to draft a guy with Tannehill also at some point. That's
right, but Tannehill has 4, 5, 6 more seasons left in him. Tom Brady does not.
I want to win a Super Bowl.
Tom Brady is not guaranteeing you a Super Bowl in the next.
He's not
2 years.
It, but I can guarantee you this: Ryan Tannehill's never winning a Super Bowl.
Ryan Tannehill on this team was one win away from going to a Super Bowl.
I see. I think you can make the comparison.
Tannehill can win a Super Bowl
on the Super Bowl expectation, but you bring in 12. There is no question where the bar is set, and there is one expectation. And
but
that's
that bar should be set there right now, based on the season that Ryan Tannehill and this team had.
I think the expectation is.
Paul, you're saying you agree, but you're saying 15%. He's going to be 15% worse than last year. If he's 15% worse, they're not getting where they were last year. And that's your expectation. I want to expect Tannehill to be better.
Well, Brady is definitely going to be 15% worse than what Tannehill was last year.
Brady.
How is that?
Brady will find a way.
Much better options here than what he was throwing to there. How is he 15% worse, guaranteed?
I don't think you're considering his arm, for one.
I think you're going to have.
I'm considering the weapons I saw him throw to. The only thing that the Titans don't have is Edelman.
Make him able to throw. He's got better than Edelman, I think, if Humphries is healthy. Edelman's on the downside. Humphries is in his prime. But I just think that you guys aren't. You look at the 4,000 yards and you think that's a big deal.
Oh, you're talking to someone who's watched more games of the Patriots than you have last year.
He threw for 3 yards less an attempt than Tannehill. That's a lot.
Tannehill's ripping it. He's letting it rip 10 yards per attempt. You never see the completion percentage and the yards per attempt pair up the way Tannehill did this year in 10 weeks. You never see a quarterback lead both categories.
Agree.
Very rare.
Agree.
So he's going to do it again?
No, but those numbers are still going to be, I'm presuming, hoping, expecting, tied together in a good way. Not as high, but tied together in a good way. Brady's are not tied together that way.
We go to the phones
Brady
when we return.
Passed.
Midday 180. 104.5 The Zone.
The 3HL talks Titans with Jim Wyatt, presented by Accurate Mortgage. Tuesday afternoons at 3:30 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone.
From friend of the show, friend of the station, Alan Bell on Twitter, he retweets our tweet with my quote on Brady, and he says this: Tom Brady threw for as many yards as Tannehill threw for, plus Derrick Henry rushed for, this season combined, to absolutely no one. In 7 years, Tannehill once threw for what Brady did this year in the, quote, he's trash season. Only hit Brady's touchdown mark this year twice in those 7 years.
He threw 613 passes. We're just going to ignore how many attempts. Ryan Tannehill threw 286 passes. That's a significant.
You cannot compare the pass attempts. You can double that. You can double that and try to compare it.
In 7 years.
You're going to compare week 7 to.
No, I know, but I'm saying
an entire season.
I'm saying when we boast about the 4,000 yards, that's 613 pass attempts. That's a ton of passes.
In 7 years, Tannehill once. In his prime, in his 20s, threw for what Brady did in his he's trash season this season. That's when he's playing full seasons.
Okay, but you're just taking the 4,000 and you're not factoring in its 613
Paul,
passes.
You're just taking the 9 or 10 games he played with the Titans. I'm telling you, there's statistical evidence of his entire career when he gets a full season.
Okay,
you don't know what he's going to look like for a full season.
Let's
with the
take
Titans.
My 15%. I rescind it on completion percentage. That's too far a drop. 15% is way big. That would get him down to 58%. Let's give him, though, a 15% drop on the 9.6 yards per attempt. That would get him to 8.1. Tom Brady's been better than 8.1 three times in 19 seasons.
And
I will take that, 8.1.
And that offense did what for that franchise?
Look, I'm not saying that they didn't win all the Super Bowls and
numbers.
He's not spectacular.
You're knocking numbers. Where has Tannehill been in the postseason with his 8.1 versus Tom Brady less than 8.1?
No, I'm saying if we give Tannehill a regression of 15% on his yards per attempt next year, that's 8.1. Brady last year was 6.6, a descending player who's 43 years old. That's still a substantial difference. That's something I would be considering as I'm comparing.
And
the
that's yards per attempt.
Yards per attempt.
That's him throwing to Edelman. That's him throwing out of the backfield to James White.
I understand all you're saying about a supporting cast. The supporting cast stunk this year.
Yes.
But we've also said a billion times about quarterbacks here, like Mariota. You're allowed to elevate the guys, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Mohamed Sanu, they traded for, who was supposed to be a good boost there. He didn't do anything. All of these things. I think a Tom Brady 5 years ago would have made Mohamed Sanu a better player. Would he not have?
I'm sure Tom Brady made that offense much better than what it was this year.
I'm just saying it's a lot more complicated it wasn't good than saying year. Here's the greatest quarterback of all time. I think you've got to say every time, here's the greatest quarterback of all time at 43.